From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Roundtable beat. That's it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Stephen Chris here again. This is the preview versus the Redskins of the game that we're getting ready to have on Sunday. Welcome again to another Bleed Blue Show podcast, man, where we're just going to bleed it blue and verbally and otherwise as expressive as we possibly can. Steve Azul is right here. What's up, Chief?
Yeah, what's up, Chris? Can you hear me out there? How's everything?
Oh, man, it is cold as a hooker's heart out this way, bro. It's like 19 degrees, and it's just not really happening, man. You can't do nothing. You can't even go outside to take the trash out, yo. It's not worth it, man.
Yo,
this has been a pretty interesting week. Say again?
Wait till we get to these comments on the Bleed Blue Show page all week with Janoris Jenkins, Tom Coughlin. Can't wait to read that off.
I'm saying. And I'm really interested in what everyone has to say about Tom Coughlin. I have an interesting take myself, man. It's, you know, but I tell you one thing. I'm not going to say that yet. I'll wait. But, it's funny how we're in the, here we are at the end of the year, week 16, and we're getting probably more interesting news than we've had the past four or five weeks. It's just really crazy, you know, but everything affects us, man. We're getting ready to go into a really great new realm, I think, in our history. That's just me being positive about everything blue. Nonetheless, how's things going with you, Steve, before I go ahead and...
The next episode was very good yesterday. Shout out to the guys.
I encourage everyone to check out the Knickerbocker Ave podcast from yesterday. It's on archives. Good, Steve. Sorry. That was excellent.
Ring podcast with Ranger Proud. Going to get back into some baseball. Have our annual holiday episode on Monday. That's going to be fun.
Derek Cole!
Then after that, the Bleed Blue Show will be on a two weeks, Dos Hermanos hiatus.
Yes.
Going to be back a week after New Year's Day, start back into some more sports. We're going to throw in a little bit of baseball. We're going to be talking, NFL playoffs at that time, college football, stuff like that. So. Yes.
And college b-ball, if you will. Throw some boxing in there. This is the place to be. We're gonna do our thing, man. I'm feeling really. I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to fight it and try to ponder it. But I'm feeling really good about where the future is headed with this team, with the upcoming changes we got going on, and also the New York Knickerbockers. And that's one of the things you'll hear at the holiday show that's coming up soon, Steve. We're gonna hash all of that out. Oh, man. Like I said, this is the Bleed Blue Show, 929-477-4171. We got a pick 'em's coming up later on. We're going to do that probably, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes into the show or so. I want you to know, everybody, we're 40 minutes. We're on social media everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, The Bleed Blue Show. Bleed Blue Show. Tap it in, and you'll see where we go from there. Let's see who's on the line, though, man, before we cash into that. I know this is Carl. What's up, Chief? How you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. And since this is the last Thursday show before the holiday, we want to just wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah to everybody out there.
Now, why did you steal my
Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays, Chief.
Oh, there is one more thing about not to cut you and Carl off. We will do a post-game show, last game of the year versus the Eagles. That is in the mix. So that's included within the hiatus. So that's
Yeah, because we're going to be winning it, so we'll be so high on just that notion alone that, you know. It's just wonder. We're going to have to do that. All right, gentlemen. Here's the love of my life. Kristen's on the line. What's up, girlfriend? Kristen?
Hi, Blee Boo family. Good evening.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
Make a show you're there.
You're there.
How you doing, babe? You all right?
Good. How you guys doing? How's everybody feeling tonight?
Hey.
Cold. But, you know.
I know. I heard you can't even go outside to get the mail. You can get it on Saturday when it's frost.
I know. It's like a daunting task. It's sick, man. It's not
it's
as cold as Chicago, Carl. But it's cold, bro. It's cold.
I know. Porsche. Oh, my God. I don't even know how he does that. Hi, Carl. Merry Christmas, everybody. And Happy New Year. Let me get that out of the way. And Happy Hanukkah to everybody.
There you go. That's my girl. All right, Billy Bob, are you in your feelings tonight or what? You in your feelings? What's up, Chief? Mute button. I know this is Billy Bob. Okay, you don't want to play with the mute button. All right, we'll be back, Billy Bob. 929-477-4171 is the number. Well, Steve, we're coming to the end of this. We're coming to the end. Let me do a little setup for everyone. As everyone knows, the Giants will be traveling down to FedEx Field on Sunday afternoon. They're going to wind down the regular season with their NFC East opponent, longtime opponent, the Washington Redskins. Now, both of these teams are eliminated from playoff contention. They still got plenty to play for, though, over the final 2 weeks, and because they're both 3-11. Which is tied for, I think, Miami for the second worst record in football. And a lot could be decided in this matchup, though I would say both organizations have more to gain by losing this game than actually playing to win. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying it. Okay, so I hope what I'm wishing for is that we go on the road and stun the Redskins, but I'm also conflicted, too, because my good homie, Mr. Haskins, is quarterback in the other team, so that's another personal problem I'm dealing with. Anyway, the Giants and Eli Manning probably will be at the mercy of Daniel Jones' injured ankle because, as everyone knows, Eli had that chance to, and it was a beautiful moment. He got the chance to lead the Giants to a win and probably, likely, was the final home game in New York. For him against the Dolphins, and it was like a storybook ending. He spent all 16 of his seasons here. In that game, he had, 283 yards and two touchdowns, including that pretty 51-yard strike down to Golden Tate. We won 36-20. It was nice. I liked it. But yesterday, Daniel Jones fully practiced with the team, so he took the first team reps in practice, and that should be a clear indication that the Manning era is over, Steve. Officially coming to an end in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So, with all the signs pointing to Joneses,
that was good. That was good for the fans. That
it was
at MetLife, the video tribute. I thought
it really was.
It was a really nice moment, man. I mean, what the hell is all that noise? Whoever's not speaking, me
okay,
on,
somebody,
me.
Somebody, kill the mic. Kill the mic.
Somebody got a lot of static. So anyway, about Eli Manning, that was a good moment for the fans. Not a lot to cheer for, but as far as we all know, the accolades as far as the two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs, not a lot to cheer for. You needed to get something. And it was a nice win in the second half. I know he did struggle with the picks, but that's typical Eli, though. I mean, he'll throw you some touchdowns. He'll throw you some picks. He's always even kill. But, hey. This episode versus the Redskins, how do I look at this? Because you look at the game they played against the Eagles. They had the Eagles beat. I don't know what happened late in the game.
It was a done deal.
Carson Wentz had found had got the late touchdown in the game. So how do I look at the Washington Redskins? I mean, they went to Green Bay and gave Green Bay all they could have. I really do like their run game as of late with Geis and even Peterson, who's still out there
Geis
playing.
Down, though,
that's
Steve.
The guy he's a Hall of Famer right there. And so even they went into Carolina, ran the ball down the Carolina Panthers' throat. I know their season's kind of lost after Ron Rivera was gone. They even had the game versus the Detroit Lions, who once they played us, they really spun out of control, especially when the quarterback fill out a you know when he got injured for the Lions, but for the for the Washington Redskins, I mean I really think though they played okay, man. I mean I think people look at them from afar, they don't give them. You can't sleep on anybody. My whole point: don't sleep on the Redskins this week. However, this game can be similar to what we saw last year when we played them late in the year, and we remember that was the Giants' best game of the year. They blew them out. And nobody was at the game. Haskins has played okay, but the run is really about their run game on their offense on the offensive side, and then defensive line
magical right now. I don't know where he's getting that from.
But he looks fine. He looks fine.
No, because I'm looking at the fact that he has one reconstructed leg, and the other one is jacked up, and he's still doing what he does at his age, at this point in his career. I think that's amazing to me. I'm just looking for the injury aspect of it. It's crazy to me.
So here's the thing. When we pass it off to Carl, to the stakeholders, there's a lot of things we're going to throw at you. Number one, matchup versus the Redskins, how you look at this game. Number two, we know about the Tom Coughlin news leaving Jacksonville, and there was a lot of rumblings on the Bleed Blue Show page alone. I'm pretty sure everywhere in Giants Nation with their thoughts as far as the Giants even consider bringing Tom Coughlin back in some sort of capacity. I'm not saying just a coach, maybe for a consultant, executive. Is that a good idea, bad idea? What's your thoughts on that? And we'll take those two questions right there, the Redskins game, and then also are the Giants better with or without Tom Coughlin in some capacity?
Okay, let's take that. 929-477-4171. This is the Big Blue Roundtable preview against the Washington Redskins. Let's start with that one. Carl, let's do it.
All right, let's start on the Coughlin thing first. I'm not a big fan of bringing back the past. You know, when you read about some of those grievances and some of the stuff that's been going on with Coughlin down there, you know, there's a collective bargaining agreement. Look, did Tom
that's
think
right.
he could get away with this? Like, what was the purpose behind all of this? And to see what was playing out and I think Tom at 72, 73 years old, whatever is, you know, whatever the number is, I just think, you know what, Tom, it's, you know, he's had his time, go hang out with the grandkids and just head on into the sunset, you know, as far as that's concerned. But on the Redskins game, you know, I actually rewatched the Redskins game against the Eagles yesterday. And if you recall back when the Giants faced the Redskins the first time, the Redskins had open receivers. They had Case Keenum starting the game, unfortunately, and had somebody just been able to just hit a couple of those guys, there would have been touchdowns. And if you notice last week, McLaurin again has been a bright spot for the Redskins. He got past the Eagles secondary.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that he is spotted. I love Buckeyes anyway, but that's he's doing his thing.
So he's a guy that. Yeah, so he's a guy that, you know, you want to look at again. I mean, he was open in the first game that they had against the Giants, and they overshot him, I think, twice, I believe, if I recall, on two plays that would have been touchdowns. So he's a guy that can break a game open at any moment, and the Giant defense has to be on high alert. But I will say that the quarterback play has improved over these last number of weeks. If you take a look at DeAndre Baker, you know, we all got on him about halfway through the season. But if you look at his play the last number of weeks, I think he's playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Sam Hill's playing okay. Julian Love looks like he can do some work. So perhaps as guys have progressed here, that perhaps we might have something in the secondary, you know, looking ahead towards the next season.
Exactly. I agree. I totally agree. I thought that I really was impressed with Sam Beal, though. Oh, my God. He looked like an all-star out there. I mean, granted, it was Miami, but it was impressive, you know.
It was. That's the tackle in the end. That was him with the tackle in the end zone for the safety, if I recall, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yes. It was, that had me yelling. You know, if I get hoarse, that means I'm enjoying it. So I must have had, I mean, I think altogether he must have had about 8 tackles, maybe. I don't have it in front of me or anything, but I think he had 11 tackles. and 8 solo tackles.
Oh,
with a pass breakup,
okay.
And of course, you know, the safety you were talking about. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
if this is what we're going to get.
You know,
we're going to be in good shape. Yeah.
You know, if you can add a guy next season, if you can add a guy like this, remember when the Giants signed Sam Madison?
Yep, I remember.
Yep, a veteran guy like that can still play. Not Bethea, he's too old, I'm sorry. But a guy like him to add to that mix at the cornerback spot and be able to have a rotation of guys that can play, move Julian Love to be a slot corner, because that's the biggest thing as you look at the defense going forward here. Having one of those guys is going to be huge. But if you know, get one of those guys, sort of solidify the back end, I would say get another safety myself and add that. Then all of a sudden you can see a little bit of the building here with the defense.
Right. You want to add anything else? You want to add any Eli, anything else?
Yeah, you know, the fact that that Eli was able to get that ovation on Sunday, you know, so because at halftime when they were losing 10-7, there was no thought of any ovations that were going on during that game. But to see when they finally, you know, got a chance to take him out of that game, and when they were panning on him at the sideline, looked like he was crying. I thought he was crying, but apparently he wasn't. And you know, I'm pretty sure that for all the Giant fans out there, that have seen him over the years watching him, and to see him be able to get a moment like that, you know, listen, whether it's forums like these, or whether it's online forums, or whether it's, you know, just talking to your friend at the game, either it's in the tailgate, in the stadium, you know, we've all gotten on Eli or said, damn it, Eli, you know, something along those lines. You know, you probably wanted to choke him, you know, every so often, but you know, for the most part, it's been out of love. You know, it's kind of like when your mom spanks you, you know, mom doesn't hate you. Mom is trying to see the best out of you and try to get the best out of you. And that's, after all these years, that's all this was with Eli. You know, he's going to have his day in maybe in the Hall of Fame, and we'll see about that. But I think that for that few moments when everybody was just giving him a standing, you know, clap and ovation, it was just sort of like, thank you. And that was a very good moment.
That's right. Carl, everyone. Carl from Chicago. Appreciate that, bro. 929-477-4171. Kristen.
So that's one no for Coughlin. We just keep him in the tally on this, by the way.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, I think we're gonna have a shutout on that one, Steve. 929-477-4171. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Kristen, all of that stuff too. You know, the Eli and the Coughlin and the game coming up and the whole nine yards.
Well, let's start off with Tom Coughlin. Let's see. I don't know. It's a little messy for me. The man, first of all, the man's in his 70s. Okay, the last time that he coached for us, I don't know if anybody took a note or watched this man's face every now and then when he used to get upset. We used to think he was going to have a heart attack on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could do it. And with all this messy stuff, what's with the illegally fining players? Illegally fining players. And these are like non-committal, like off-season practices and events and different outings and stuff. I just don't understand it. I don't understand what he got out of it.
Right.
So that, that's a no from me on Coughlin.
Tally is
as
two,
far
Steve.
As, as far as the Redskins, I mean, I would have liked to see him if he was in his 60s. And he didn't have all this grimy stuff behind him. But we're not trying to – the team is not trying to be around the drama anymore. And that goes with anybody. So at the end of the season, hopefully Schumer will go. I'm not sure about Gettleman at this point. But I'm almost positive Schumer's going to go, which is fine with me. We've got to make some kind of change. And it's not going to come – I agree with Carl. It's not going to come – with an older coach. We don't want anything new.
We'll get into off-season talk later. What about the game?
Okay, the game now. You know, we're pretty even matched up, but I think if the O-line really holds up for DJ, like it did like last, like the way the guys played, everybody played well. Everybody. 90% of the team played well last week. And players are usually non-existent players. players that don't really get a lot of spotlight. We've got to start playing our players. If we do and if we play like last week and that O-line and DJ has protection and he has that extra couple of minutes where he can make up his mind if he's going to run it or if he's going to pass it, I think we can take him. This is a definite winnable game. There is no question about it. This is a winnable game. I think we're going to win this game. I really hope it's a repeat and we just beat the hell out of them and come home.
Me too.
That would be nice. But it is what it is. Either way, it's a win-win for us. We lose, no big deal. We win it. We win it, you know. At this point in the season, there's only a few games left, so it is what it is. But I want to talk about Jackrabbit and how people feel about the Saints, about him going, because obviously he's really excited about being there. And they have no problem with him. And I honestly hope him, I wish him the best. He's actually calmed down with the tweets and everything. He's a little bit more professional, if anybody checked that out today. But the final two games this year, the Saints will have to pay him anyway $1.2 million, right?
Right.
With the two games. Then if they decide to keep him, right, within this the year 2020, they're responsible for the 11.25, right?
Right. Yep.
So we're pretty much off the hook.
Yep. I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay. I'm good with that. I mean, listen, I'm good and bad. Listen, when the guy was good, he was good. I'm not going to say he was a rotten player. We should have got rid of him years ago, whatever, whatever. You know, the Twitter, the retard comment, whatever, I'm saying it, okay? You want to ban me and whatever, do what you got to do. That comment is, and I understand where people can take it and run with it. It could go a lot of ways. And I understand where he's coming from. But in this limelight that you're in, you've got to represent yourself in a way that's on and off the field. Same with your job. You have to be professional on and outside, right?
Right.
In the office and outside. If you wanted to take that up with him, he could have, you know, they could have talked it out or whatever. But for him to go back and forth on Twitter with some jerk, it wasn't worth it. That was just real. There was just no excuse for them to fire him on that alone. I think this was just the icing on the cake for him. That's all. They needed an excuse to get rid of him for whatever, and that's how they did it.
Mm.
That's how they did it. All right. All right, Kristen. We'll be back. Stay right there.
Can I say something real quick before we go to Billy Bob
and just go back to
Kristen's points? If y'all haven't saw the Bleed Blue Show page since that day it happened, let me tell you something, man. That fan was a jackass. All right, that fan. I know, what Kristen is saying as far as the player has more to lose, and I get that, but I have an issue with fans who are corny, who are pussies. Or just straight up dicks. Here's the problem. We got Worm on the line, and he's going to speak to a lot to this. Maybe Lit too. Do you have a segment of fans in the fan base who are actually putting up the effort, the finances to support your team through thick and thin? But then you have these idiot fans who they don't do nothing. They don't go to the games. All they do is stay at home in their mama's basement, and they tweet away at different players. So in this particular case, this fan wasn't just going at Janoris Jenkins. He was going at different players in different sports, i.e. John Tavares on the Islanders.
Right, I guess
this fan was also an Islanders fan. The whole point, what I'm trying to say is, some of these fans got to be checked too. And I kind of side with Janoris on this, even though it cost him his spot on his team.
Like,
but at the end of the day, Janoris Jenkins ain't want to be here anyway. The team sucked. So
he stated that several times. So it's like, if he's unhappy, this was his way to get out, and that's fine. I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, all
right. He also wouldn't have released if the team was 11-2.
Right.
That's
the thing.
Right.
You're right.
But it's too bad. You're right. There's a lot of people out there that are scumbags that are going
to
push
a lot of these
buttons
fans need
that
to be
you
checked.
Didn't
I'm,
even
I'm
know that you had.
If you see a fan, anybody sees a fan doing this, so you need, y'all need, well, I ain't saying y'all, but I'm saying in general, if you were a passionate fan, like I'm a passionate fan, so y'all need to check some of these stupid-ass fans, man. You call them out on social media, what the fuck are you doing? You're like, yo, right. You were supposed to be a Giants fan. What the hell are you doing this dumb shit for?
Right, right.
Let's go to the next take.
Yeah, you know, they got a lot of keyboard courage over there, but that's their thing.
Right.
Billy Bob, are you in the studio, sir? Golly, okay, Billy Bob.
Billy Bob?
What's going on with him? Billy Bob.
Billy Bob. I don't know. All
right. I don't know either. Worm, you're here, are you not?
Yes, sir.
Talk to us,
what's
man. You've heard
on?
Everything so far. We went over the game. The game is coming up. Prognosticate that. We talk about Tom Coughlin, Janoris Jenkins, and something else. Eli.
Okay.
So, you know, throw it at me. We'll talk to you on the Bleed Blue.
Tom Coughlin.
Thank
you,
Kristen.
Steve,
big
know,
up to Kristen,
know,
by the way.
Hey, Kristen. I know, Steve, you know where it's going the other day, you know, about, you know, Tom Coughlin, and, you know, I told you I would take him back. I slept on it. It's a fan in me wants him back because I miss him. But my head, it's time to move on. It's time to stop looking in the past. He's a great evaluator of talent. I'll give him that. But, you know, it's time that the Giants get away from the familiarity. You know, they were familiar with Dave Gettleman, you know, from what he's, you know, done in the past with the organization. They were familiar with Pat Shurmur. They felt comfortable with him because he fits that mold of what they see in a Giants head coach. It's time that the organization goes totally outside like they did when George Young was forced upon the Mara family when they were having their issues, and the NFL turned around and said, you're taking George Young. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yep.
It was outside of the organization. It's time to bring in that outside voice. Stop staying with the familiar candidates. I know Lewis Riddick interviewed, you know, with Dave Gettleman and a couple of others. Riddick had no shot. But let's be honest. He had no shot because the Giants were comfortable with Gettleman because they knew him. They were familiar with him.
Right.
It's time for Coughlin to go home and play grandpa and you know, enjoy his time with his grandchildren. It's time. I know he's always going to have that competitive edge in him, that, you know, competitive – that he wants to be around the game. He wants to, you know, either coach or be in the front office. I get it. I 100% get it. But it's time. It's time for his family to say, come home.
What else you got?
Eli, it was an absolutely beautiful tribute that they did to him last week. I got a lot of great pictures, a lot of great videos. It was done well. He got that Derek Jeter send-off that Jeter got at Yankee Stadium. He got what he deserved with that send-off. It was done perfectly. After, you know, so much, you know, there's so many botched attempts with Eli with this organization, it was done right. He's done. He can walk off into the sunset. His next stop is going to be Canton, Ohio, getting that gold jacket and putting it on.
That's it. Yes.
Janoris Jenkins. That fan is a total jackass. Okay. He starts shit with players. He's done it with players in different leagues. And then he goes and cries fucking victim. He can kiss my ass. Jenkins, the only thing he should have done is he should have been the bigger person, the professional, and just ignored his stupid ass. Now you gotta remember with Gettleman, he doesn't pay defensive backs big money. He doesn't. He showed that with Josh Norman in Carolina, and he showed that in the past. He's not gonna pay big money for defensive backs. He'll pay big money for O-line and defensive linemen, not D-backs. The other thing is Gettleman doesn't like players that speak out. A couple weeks ago, Jenkins came out and made the comments about Betcher. and that he's not shadowing the one receiver, and he spoke out against the defense. Gettleman doesn't like that. I talked to a couple of people. I said, I guarantee you within the next 2 to 3 weeks, Jenkins is gone. The comment that he made, yeah, probably was the icing on the cake, but I think the Giants had that in mind anyway. And what they did with that is they created 11.25 in cap space for next season. If they make, you know, some other moves, they're going to have almost $85 million in cap space. Jenkins wasn't coming back next year anyway. They did him a favor and cut him loose, and now he's on a playoff team. He wasn't happy here. Who would be happy on a 3-11 team? Coming into this game, Redskins' defense is the 10th worst, you know, defense, you know, with the Devo VA. They give up a lot of yards. You know, they lost a heartbreaker last week to Philadelphia. Barkley should be able to run the ball all over this team. The quarterback matchup is the wild card situation. It's kind of a wash. You know, Haskins has been playing well since Callahan took over as the head coach. That offense looks a hell of a lot better. McLaren is a hell of a receiver. He's a steal in the draft that the Redskins got. Ingram's on IR. You know, to me, he's no better than Jacoby Ellsbury. Daniel Jones, he's coming off the ankle injury. Let's see what he looks like.
That was cute.
He's not wrong.
Good worm.
Daniel Jones, he's coming off the ankle injury. You know, let's see how he is rolling out of the pocket. Let's see how he is when he's got to set the foot and drive. Slayton is Slayton. The guy's an animal. I was happy when they drafted him out of Auburn. I am happy he's getting his burn right now. He is going to be a problem. Once he settles in, he is going to be a total problem. Defensively, Dexter Lawrence. I love the kid. Julian Love looks a hell of a lot better. I like him back there at safety. Antoine Bethea can stay on the sideline for all I care. The defense is starting to look better, but again, you know, it was against Washington. I mean, it was against Miami.
Yeah.
You know, Shermer, I don't trust the guy. I really don't. This is going to be a typical NFC East game. It's either going to be a close game, low scoring, or it's going to be a close game, high scoring. Adrian Peterson is going to be a problem. He's hurt the Giants before, and they can contain him. We'll be all right. McLaren's going to be an issue. You're probably going to want to shade a safety over the top just to give some help to our corners. Special teams wise, they're all right. That's about it. It's going to come down to, you know, winning the battle in the trenches. If, you know, offensive line, if you can drive the defensive line back 2 yards, you just had an all-pro game. Because that means you're opening up the holes and you're letting whoever leading through the hole get to the second level, and you got your back behind him, and off to the races he goes.
Yep.
I would like to see Barkley get used more in space, get him on some, get him on a couple Q routes, get him on some zip screens, get him on some toss plays, you know, and see if they can get some RPOs working with Barkley and Jones, and mix in a little bit of Shep. That's where I'm at.
All right. That's Worm, everyone. Shout out to Worm, everyone. All right. 929-477-4171, Bleed Blue Roundtable, preview against the Redskins. Check us out, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all alike. Okay, the definition of lit himself in the house.
Yeah.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, I'm here. Listen, I am still trying to find Doris C. Myers.
Where is she? Great.
So, you know, look, I kind of tuned in a little bit late, But, you know, one thing, I want to just kind of go to the game really quickly, and then we can kind of talk about some other things. I am really looking forward to seeing the improvement of Eric Flowers. He's got a 68 PFF ranking. Bill Callahan has spoke very, very well of him, even to the lingo of he's probably going to get a big contract next year. I would really like – I want to see how good Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams do against Eric Flowers. I'm going to be watching that. You know, we all casted him off and just want to see how well he does on Sunday. Not really interested in anything else as far as, you know, the one-on-one matchups. Not really buying into what Len and Collins might want to, you know, do per se as far as this is his last crack for the year at the Giants. It's over. It is what it is. He's had the year that he's had. He got his money. That's it. As far as Tom Coughlin, that poll that's been out and everyone's saying asking for a friend, we already have a David Gettleman. We do not need another Tom Coughlin. We don't need the old dog, the old school mentality in the organization anymore. Let him enjoy his grandkids. Let him play golf. Let him be with his family. I saw the documentary on him. His wife understands what he's geared towards, but Coughlin really needs to be geared towards his wife, his family, his son-in-law, and just enjoy life. Take time to smell the flowers. As far as Janoris Jenkins' comments, now listen, I do speak quite often to Avery Moss. I speak to his uncle. I speak to his mom. I speak to his dad. I always treat him with respect. I never say anything inappropriate. I get respect from him, his family. I always talk to them like a human being. I would never, ever cross the line with a professional athlete, say anything about them personally, their family, their loved ones. Even if they're bad, I might just say, hey, man, when's the next barbecue? But to incite a riot on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, that's just a real scumbag move of that individual that would, yeah, you know, incite riot like that.
Right. Right. Anything else, Lit?
You know, it was really nice to see the send-off to Eli Manning. But, you know, look, I think it should have been done 3 years ago instead of to now. Because look what happened from 3 years ago to now with the whole debacle with Ben McAdoo to this debacle to this year. I wish it were done 3 years ago and these shenanigans would have never happened with dealing with him.
Right. All right. That's the definition of Lit, everyone. All right. You know what? You guys already said it on Janoris Jenkins. Look, he's got the chance to compete in a new atmosphere right now. And that atmosphere, as we speak, is really, really jumping. You know, because they're, you know, that's who that land, man. And they're talking Super Bowl. They're praising Drew Brees. I'll get to that in a second in the whole nine. Coughlin, nah, it's over with. You guys already said it. I don't have to rehash that. The Redskins, look, man, this was kind of, I'm a diehard Giant fan, and just for some reason, except for you guys who are on this line and some on social media and listening and all, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say I don't feel the fire anymore. But then again, we have a losing season, so just disregard. Look, we live and we die with this, man. This is our team, and so we're gonna bleed blue. So that's the end of that. I was just kind of in my feelings, to quote Billy Bob, man, on Monday when I saw that Drew Brees, you know, he broke the record for the most touchdown passes, and they gave him the same kind of love that Eli was getting the day before, and they were cheering and. They, you know, it was just a wonderful friggin' moment. It was momentous. There were tears, and just a whole lot of adulation, a lot of love, and this and that. And I'm looking at that, and I said, Dad, you know what? Eli deserved that, man. He needed that. That of that magnitude, not just the respect, but that he could have very easily been in that position if we had decided to surround him with the kind of tools he needed to excel, you know. And I just sort of put it together in my mind. There was a whole lot of thoughts I had. The fact that in some ways he's with us because the Chargers didn't want Drew Brees, and he's also, and also the fact that, you know, he's with a his Drew Brees' coach that basically developed him these past 10 or I don't know how long it's been, maybe 14 years, should have been around to coach Eli. You know, if Jim Fossil didn't throw his ass under the bus, it was a lot of little scenarios that I thought about, and I said to myself, you know what, man, it is what it is, and we got two Super Bowls out of it, so forget it. All right, Steve, let's go to Billy Bob, and I'll
speak my one more piece before we
get to the pitch. Billy Bob? Billy Bob, are you messing with your phone or what, man? Oh, man, I don't know where he's at. Go ahead, Steve. Give us what you got, bro.
All right. Last points on Janoris Jenkins and Coughlin. Jenkins, I kind of said it all as far as where I stand with from a fan's perspective. Sometimes I think these fans get carried away, and I just think it's really pump moves to be coming at athletes that the way they do sometimes. And I think Janoris didn't really care at that point. I think he knew what he was going to say, and the Giants used that as a cop. And what really pissed me off about the Giants is they lie, and the fans eat it up. When I say they lie, I'm talking about as if the Giants used that social media politically correct stuff is the reason why he left. No, he's gone because of the contract situation. If you rather have said that, then use social media as a scapegoat. Don't play as fans as fools. And what I really don't, you know, I really take heed to this. It really boils my skin. And it should boil fans like Worm and season ticket holders when you have the Giants in a way siding with fans who don't even financially support the team, don't go to games. Like you look at this fan's timeline. He doesn't do none of that. He's a troll. The Giants organization took the place of a troll over a player that's within the organization that they're paying a salary to. That really bothers the heck out of me that the Giants screwed that up. And not because they screwed up because they cut him, it's the why they cut him and lied to the fans. That pissed me off. And as far as Coughlin, I guess I will be the one on the outside looking in. And it comes with a caveat, not with the stipulations and the fines and all that. To me, Chris, and this goes to any sport, you can never have enough bright minds, old school or new school, in the room. And I'm talking about an executive level. I'm not talking about Tom Coughlin on the sidelines. I'm talking about a guy who could be out there just another ear or eyes if they have the chemistry to be out there and say, hey, you know, maybe we should or should not do this. I mean, obviously, the guy has somewhat of an idea what he's doing. Where we don't, we got guys in place when we should have drafted Josh Allen. We did not. And obviously, they had to pick right behind us, and they got the right guy. And the guy, the rookie, has almost double-digit sacks, if not already by now. So to say that Tom Coughlin is too old, that's kind of foolish to me, because you're talking about a guy who's had a career from college ranks, from Syracuse to Boston College, position coaches with Philly, Giants, of course, with 12 years as a head coach, executive with the Jaguars, and took him to the AFC Championship before we could even get out of Green Bay with a playoff win. So to me, to say that Tom Coughlin is done to at any capacity, it's really, really it's almost laughable when you look at other sports where you have, let's say, the Clippers in basketball. I mean, it's a different sport. You can never have enough old school minds like a Jerry West as a consultant role to get the right people in place and really turn your franchise around in a matter of a couple of years. So in my opinion, I would definitely at least consider it with the caveats, with, you know, leave the fine stuff out the door, and he won't be on that when it comes to fines. But as far as a guy who's been there, he's the last link to our Super Bowl. I mean, I know people say we should have lived in the past, but when we did try to go in a different direction, i.e. McAdoo, you didn't stick with him. You got rid of him. So you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Either you're going to stick with what you go with. First of all, we talk about all week, we're old school. Eli's our quarterback. We can never get rid of Eli. He's linked to Coughlin. But then at the same time, you wouldn't want to go new school. When you had new school with McAdoo, you couldn't get rid of him fast enough. So which is it, Giant fans? That's where I stand. I side with Coughlin. On a caveat, without the goofy stuff, but I know he's not coming to the Giants. But if I had to look at it, I have always for bright. I'm always with football minds, and Coughlin's a football coach. He's a football. He's been there, done that. He could always be an asset over a liability any day on my
organization. Steve, I'm going to play advocate on you just for a second.
Before we move on.
Okay.
No advocate. Let's just get to the.
No, man, because when you mess with the unions of any kind of profession, that's when you go down. That's what it was. It wasn't anything that Coughlin did.
I said without the goofy stuff. I'm cool without the goofy stuff.
All right. Fair enough. Let's go to the picks. Listen, everybody. Carl, Kristen, I don't know if you're there or not, Billy Bob. Lid. Cowboys at Eagles. I can't wait to hear this. Saints at Titans. Packers at Vikings, and, of course, us at the Redskins. So that's the Cowboys at Eagles, Saints at Titans, Packers at Vikings, and Giants at Redskins. Carl, if you're there,
yes, sir.
You set it off. Cowboys at Eagles.
All right, give me Dallas. If they lose this game Sunday. Man, you cannot lose Sunday.
Who's that? Who can't lose? I'm sorry to hear you, bro.
There is no way Dallas should lose this game Sunday.
They shouldn't. I hope not. I hope not. Okay, continue. And who else now?
Give me Tennessee. Give me Tennessee
really?
Sunday.
Okay.
Give me Minnesota
okay.
on Monday.
Right.
And in the must-lose game, the Chase Young Bowl, give me the Redskins.
You got it. Kristen, what do you got?
Cowboys are going to pay an ultimate price on Sunday. I just hate to tell everybody that.
Oh,
Philly.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going with Philly, everybody. Sorry. Philly, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't
okay.
do it. Fuck
okay.
those Cowboys.
Right.
Philly's going to stomp the shit out of them. Philly, Saints, Minnesota, and I can't go against my boys. Of course, the Giants. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Got it. Lick. Come on, Lick.
Yo.
I heard.
Am I picking for myself or Doris?
Okay. Good. Cowboys and Eagles.
We're both picking the Cowboys.
Okay. Saints and Titans. You heard that, Kristen? Saints and Titans.
we are both picking the Saints.
Packers and Vikings.
We are both picking the Packers.
And, of course, us against the Redskins.
We are both picking us.
All right. I'm definitely going for the Cowgirls on this one, man. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Nope.
Can't do it.
Neither can we.
I think Tannehill, I'm not sure, because the Eagles basically they can hardly beat us and Washington the last 2 weeks, so I don't know. Tannehill's hot, man, but the Saints defense has stepped it up, so I don't know, man. I know the Titans are at home, but I gotta go with Drew Brees here. I'm gonna go with the Packers. I don't trust the Vikings, and of course I'm going with us. Go ahead, Azul.
I have the same exact picks as you. Cowboys, Saints.
Okay.
Packers Giants. So
Packers,
yeah, I have the same exact picks.
Before we move on,
I wish we had Billy Bob, because Billy Bob is only down two to Lit. Now if we can't get Lit's Billy Bob's picks, man, Lit, man, you're up two going into week 17, and if we don't get Billy Bob's picks, man, you're probably gonna win this shit, man, for the regular season.
All right, Billy. Yeah. Bob, I think he's going to try to call in a second. He's going to try back because I don't know, something was wrong. All right. can we get final thoughts for right now? And we could talk. Okay, let's go with Carl. Carl, give us a final thought, man. This is week 16. A lot has happened not only this week, but you know, throughout the entire season. Give us a final thought, man.
Yeah, you know, we're winding down another losing year here, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, what's going to happen to the coach in the off season. And the one thing that I guess has been confusing me as we close this out here is, you know, the coach was brought in and recommended by the general manager, who got him within sniffing distance of the job that the owner hired him to do. And after 2 years, obviously, there's been, you know, what the results have been. And yet, as the general consensus is going to be that the coach is going to be fired at the end of the season, but I'm confused as to why the general manager is not being held responsible for this particular coach getting this particular job. Well, where is the accountability? Because Let's just say you fire this coach after the season. Is, quote-unquote, the general manager on the hot seat when this new head coach comes in? What if they struggle next season? What are you going to do? You're going to fire the general manager? So now you're going to have a new general manager with a coach there, and you're going to have this sort of two timetable thing. Because here's the ultimate fear, that the general manager is going to fear for his job security next season. So he's going to take the money that currently exists in terms of the salary cap, and it's going to splurge on free agents in a desperate attempt to try to go 9-7 next season. And if that doesn't work, then they're screwed. So that's what I'm trying. If you're going to fire Shurmur, then fire all of them. But this half measure thing is something that I can't go for, and I'm confused by it.
These are the New York Football Giants, Carl. I think it was Worm earlier who alluded to the fact that 40 years ago, you know, Pete Rozelle, the commissioner, I remember this clear. He took George Young and he placed him in the Giants organization. It wasn't like, okay, I want you to hire. No, he said, you're going to sit here, you know, because this is dysfunctional and you got to fix this. And so with that kind of lineage and that kind of history with this franchise, man, that doesn't surprise me.
The idea of this organization being a quote-unquote model franchise and stability and all this stuff. You know, if you look at the last 40 years, I think I have to check this. I think over the last 40 years, they've only had, I think, 15 winning seasons. The idea that this has been some sort of consistent winning program is false. I don't know where folks are getting that from.
I think the fact that everyone loves Wellington Mara and loved him, and that, I think that probably had something to do with that, the family and the whole nine. So I think that played into that. But anyway, Carl, thanks for the final thought, bro. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Kristen, final outlook.
I would like to see Tom Coughlin maybe in the box or something in the background. But as far as coaching, I don't think so. Even if we did have room for him. You know, I wouldn't even know where to begin with that. But anyway, as I really like to see more of Nick Gates. Hopefully he'll bring it like he did last week. He had a couple good plays. You know, I really like to see everybody step up like they did last week. Give DJ that momentum, give him that extra time, and let the defense just bring it. If we have to double team Peterson, that's what we got to do. That's what we have to do. We got to put pressure on the quarterback. And if we have to put extra pressure on Peterson, so be it. But thanks, guys, for having me. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Okay. And where's the lid at? Because I know he's here. Definition, where you at?
I'm right here. Unmute me. Okay. Hey, so, you know, final thought, just to kind of run off on what Perry Mason said, but to kind of give a little bit more of a futuristic spin. If the Giants are going to go with the status quo, no matter what Mr. Tisch and Mr. Mara talk about, and it is just the status quo, to me, why don't they just sell the team to an innovator, someone that thinks outside the box, someone that is a visionary like a Jeff Bezos, someone that will be willing to listen, that will use analytics, that will listen to people, listen to his advisors, to his inner circle. He will not accept the status quo. Successful businessman, knows how to run the business, would get a surrounding of people that all they want to do is make the situation right. That's if the Giants were to ever decide to sell the team.
That's a wonderful utopic response, sir. It would never happen, though. They've only
Dorsey Myers came up with that idea.
Yeah, I bet she did. See you later, Liz. Let me tell you, the Giants have lost eight in a row before last weekend. Jones had a lot of potential at times. You know, it was overshadowed by his turnovers. But, hey, look, he threw for 12 touchdowns. And he only threw for four interceptions over his last five starts, too, by the way. And people don't talk about that. He had two 300-yard games and four touchdown games. So it's there for him. This is a lot of potential. Quote that word potential all around the board. We just got to find a way to put it together. And I think Litt is right. If we did have that kind of guy, it would work. But I can't see Gettleman leaving. I just know this franchise, and they're not going to do anything. So we might as well get out of that. Steve Azul, anything else? You got anything for me?
Just run the ball, man. I think some one of the stakeholders, I can't remember who said it, the Washington Redskins are susceptible against the run the last couple of games. Even though some of these games that were ended or even won, you can't run against this team. Now, I don't know if our offensive line is going to hold weight or hold fort, but I actually like the point what Lynn said about Ereck Flowers, because Ereck Flowers, I think he's playing left guard. I'm not 100% sure. So that's probably one example that, you know, Lynn brought up as a magnificent point is – they take our trash and almost turn it to treasure. I mean, we were trying to use him as a tackle. The Redskins, at one point, we're going to put him at left tackle because Trent Williams was holding out. He still is holding out. But put him inside, and it's kind of worked out for them, and that's why they're able to run the ball. Like, what if we would have used Ereck Flowers as a guard, and he would have been coached up? Maybe we won't have these running issues like we do right now at right guard. I'm just saying, Kevin Zeitler. I'm just saying. That makes sense.
You know, that makes a lot of sense because that's not so, you know, it's not a radical. Going back to Carl earlier and it was Worm with the historical perspective.
Okay.
You know, LT was supposed to be a middle linebacker for somebody. You know, he was supposed to fit that niche somewhere. And they didn't know what to do with him after the scouting combine. And everyone was afraid to touch him because he'd had no identity. And it was good. And you have to have the right coach. He had Parcells and Belichick there to mold a brand new revolutionary position for him. And as you can see what happened, he changed football. Well, I think that's what football is really all about, man. You got to find a place. If there's a guy with talent or hunger, that could contribute. You gotta kind of mold it. You gotta make it happen. You know, remember Sam Mills and John Randall? Those guys were deemed too small or second tier or lifetime friggin' special teams players. But look what they did. So it works. Nonetheless, I thank Carl and Kristen and Litt and Worm and Billy Bob, wherever you are. You know, check us out on all the social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check us out also when you get a chance on all the Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, and iTunes, and so on and so forth. Spotify, Apple Podcasts as well, Podcast Republic. And Azul, take it home, man.
There's one more point about this game. This is a fan levels thing. Carl, you already know this. And a lot of Giant fans are not going to care about this, but a lot of fans like me care about this. If the Giants do win, and you know, I don't care about draft picks right now. If they win, They lock up the third seed in the NFC East. That means the Giants go back to Chicago next season. Now, depending on when it is, I'll look into that later. Now, if we're talking September, October.
Really?
Oh, yeah, we could do Chicago again. Absolutely. That's just a thought. Just a thought.
Oh.
They lose. You lose, you go to Detroit next year. That's out regardless.
And I am,
that's just me personally.
And I am not going there.
Nope, me neither.
No,
I'll do Chicago though. Spring, Lake Michigan, springtime.
Hey,
September. Oh yeah.
The best part of Detroit is leaving it.
Right.
All right, gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue, guys.
Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Yeah. Sir.